America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate. I am Paul Pabst. Great to be back on with you, 670 The Score. I've been ready for this my whole life. I love that clip from Rudy. Makes me want to run through a wall. Not like a brick wall, but maybe some drywall that hasn't been completely finished yet. Not spackled, not mudded. We are live every Saturday on The Score talking football. That's pretty much all we do here is talk football, maybe some food, maybe some wings, right up until and after the Super Bowl to get you wrapped up the entire college football and pro football weekend. Big football weekend ahead here with my boy Rob Triano. We're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some wings, some food, everything. But we're starting the back half of the football season, both college and pro. And that's a little depressing. It went so fast the first 9 weeks. It's already November. What happened? But there's a lot to go right now. There's a lot of teams out there that are like one loss away from going to irrelevancy, or, you know, like the Dallas Cowboys are basically on life support right now. But we're going to hit the NFL, college football, pro football, a lot of Bears coming up. Oof, I got to get ready for that. I got to get cranked up to talk about the Bears right now, man. I've been dreading this all week, but we're going to talk about that. Pub of the week, all that stuff. A couple sports headlines. Thursday night football, Ravens over the Bengals. That was a hell of a game on a Thursday night. Good win for the Ravens. Bengals had a shot late for a two-point conversion. Couldn't convert. Everyone's complaining about the penalties, but the Bengals right now, they're like a good team with a bad record. There's bad teams with good records, you know, like the Denver Broncos aren't that good, but they have a decent record. The Bengals feel like a threatening team. They didn't pull it off. Ravens are interesting because as good as they are offensively, their defense is that bad, especially the defensive backfield. Kyle Hamilton, they're a good safety, got a little banged up. Ravens are fun to watch. Those purple uniforms are great. The NBA season's underway. Watched the Bulls the other day. I don't think that's good for my morale after the Bears couple weeks. I don't know if watching a Bulls game is going to help me feel better about myself. That team needs a lot of work. Hopefully there's some trades soon. I'm not an expert on that, but I trust what I hear on The Score. My DePaul basketball team is 2-0. That's right. Two wins in a row. Google it. 2-0 DePaul basketball. That puts me in a great mood. And a college football game this weekend we're going to get to a little bit later. The 9-0 Indiana Hoosiers are favored by 14 points over Michigan. Let that sink in for a second. Yeah, I just saw my boy Robbie just shake his head. Robbie, can you believe that line? You can't believe that line.
As someone who's grown up in Michigan and has a lot of Michigan fans, Indiana has always been a doormat. So for Michigan to be the underdog, insane.
It's fascinating. I saw that line. I watch a lot of Big Ten football, as most of you listening out here do. And Michigan was the national title holder last year. They won the national title. They're not down. They're down this year. They lost a lot of talent, and they really don't have a quarterback. Technically, they have someone under center, but they don't have a quarterback. But Indiana, huge day for them. We'll talk about that later. Don't forget Bears. I'm dreading the Bears talk. I'm trying to put it off as long as I can. But join the Score Circa Sports tomorrow at Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. I just talked to Jarrett yesterday. Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley will host the pregame show for 670 The Score from 9 a.m. to noon. Then immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on New England. That's the Sunday at the flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports. Betting the way it should be. All right, let's get to it. The Bears next game, Bears at Patriots, noon local time. The Bears are given 6.5 points, which is pretty aggressive for how they've been lately. Pretty aggressive line. Drake May is good to go. The quarterback, also a rookie. You probably haven't seen a lot of him this year. The Patriots are not very good. They don't get a lot of national TV games, but Drake May is playing pretty well. He's really creative. He scrambles a lot. He doesn't run a lot, but he scrambles a lot. He had a game with 95 rushing yards. He's an interesting, good quarterback. He played a lot fewer games than Caleb Williams did in college, but Drake May's off to a good start. He got banged up, got a headshot the other day, but he is going to play this weekend. So Bears at Patriots, line is 6.5. This game for the Bears, to me, is more about pride than it is the record and the wild card. You know, after the last two losses, which we're going to get to, a loss this week I don't think is tolerable for the Bears fans. If I listen to the Score all day, every day when I'm out here. And this week was really rough. I couldn't think of a week that'd be rougher than last week, but it was. So we'll break down that game in a little bit. The Bears' last game, let's go back for a minute to the loss against Arizona. That was the first time that the Bears really laid an egg this season. If you look at their losses, even the loss to Houston in week two, national TV, that was a game. They had the ball with a minute 38 left and a chance to score. They didn't get housed. They never put up a solid fight against Arizona, and that's what I think bothered people. A couple field goals here and there early, and then nothing. Yeah, it wasn't really that close. They were closer against Houston. They much closer against Indy. You know, I really thought, I think a lot of people thought, after the embarrassment, the way the Commanders game ended, that this Bears team would tighten up during the week and put together a good product against a decent Arizona team, probably above average Arizona team. Not an easy game, but it wasn't. Look, I understand Montez Sweat was out. Some linemen are banged up. Brisker's out again, which we're going to get to. But the offense did very little. And the defense, the run defense was a mess. That equaled a 29-9 loss. Even the score was ugly. 29-9 is an ugly score. That's not a professional score. That's an embarrassing score. So when Matt Eberflus gets back on the podium on Tuesday, he's going to talk. He's going to tell everybody this and that. And he was asked a bunch of different questions. And this one stood out to me. And this is a tough one to answer because he was asked, is being 4-4 good enough? Here it is.
Well, I just know that's where we are, Jason. That's where we are, and that's where it is, and that's what we have to work from. And that's the reality of the situation that we're in. Again, we're a growing team. We're an improving team. I know we haven't improved the last couple of weeks in terms of the win-loss column, but you know we have to continue to find answers and continue to improve to where we are in the season. And we're 4-4. We're halfway through, and we got to do a good job of finding answers. You know, coming into the Patriots week.
That's the wrong way to answer a question. You can win or lose on Saturday, Sunday, and Mondays, but sometimes you even have to win the press conference. And what you want to hear when someone says, is 4-4 good enough? No, hell no. Can you imagine Dan Campbell of the Lions going, you know, that's where we are right now? No, I want to hear someone with a little aggressiveness. I want someone who seems angry as I am or you listening out there are. It's okay if it's faux, even if you're just playing it for the press conference. Have some, be unsatisfied in the press conference. Don't act like, yeah, 4-4 is not bad. You know, I'm really happy. We can, maybe we'll be flirting with a playoff spot at the end of the, no, be a little angry. Another cut I do want to play is, and this was with Mully and Hall early in the week, and this one got a lot of attention, even nationally. DJ Moore, the wide receiver, hell of a player, seems very frustrated at different times this year. He was asked a question, and listen to how he answers. I'm sure you've heard it already, but I've listened to it about a dozen times. Has Matt Eberflus lost the locker room? Here it is.
Has Matt Eberflus lost his football team?
I want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0. But you just got to go out there and start stacking wins how we did. And that's the best thing we can do is win and then let the chips fall how they fall after we do so.
Now, I've listened to that cut about a dozen times when it came out. I work on the Dan Patrick Show during the week, and we actually use that cut. And that's not a good sign for the Bears if we're using cuts of players dissing their coaches on national sports radio. He said, I want to say no. He didn't say no. He said, I want to say no. My wife, when she says, how do I look in this dress? I go, awesome. I don't go, you know, I want to say awesome. You know what would happen to me if my wife said, how do I look in this dress? And I said, you know, I want to say awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'm over. It's over, Johnny. You want your, and that was a very telling quote to me. DJ Moore is probably the most honest guy on the roster. I hear Jalen Johnson on the score during the week. He's really honest. But for him to say, I want to say no if the coach has lost the locker room, to me, that means they have lost the locker room. I'm just not saying it completely. So as a Bears fan, how do we get here? The action, the inaction. I saw some good trades during the preseason. You know, after London, everything looked good. But when you have players dropping hints about being unsatisfied with the coaching staff, here's where I am with this team. They're not done. They're not out of it. But the second half schedule is brutal. I think the Bears management, the brass, should decide now, right now, on the future of this team at the coaching position. I'm not saying act upon it and fire him. I want you to decide. Because does this seem like a coaching staff that could win a Super Bowl? Yes or no? And I would lean towards no. The roster could be on the Super Bowl with some more offensive line help, with some other help at other positions. But it doesn't feel like a coaching staff that's going to not make mistakes at the end of the game. It's more likely they're going to make mistakes at the end of the game. So if your answer is anything other than a quick yes, that this coaching staff can get you the Super Bowl, make your decision in your head no and stick with it. And when the season's over, let the coaching staff go, whatever you're going to do there. Spend some dough on Ben Johnson and the Lions and try to win a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Lions, I'm sure has been talked about a lot in Chicago this week. I heard Albert Breer like a week and a half ago said he was interested in the Bears last year. And all the Bears fans, oh, that means he's interested this year. And then there was a report by Adam Schefter like, well, he may not be interested because he doesn't like the Bears' dysfunction. I don't know where that report came from. I don't know if it's from Ben Johnson, but it made Bears fans a little doubtful. But if that guy's available, you know, he stayed with the Lions out of loyalty to try to get one Super Bowl for Detroit. And you got to respect that, man. I didn't know much about Ben Johnson until I heard him do that. And he said, I want to stay with Detroit and see this through. There'll be coaching jobs out there. I actually wanted him more after hearing that. So it's perfectly fine if you're a Bears fan to be angry. You know, if I'm a Bears fan also, if I hear more talk about a new stadium, get me the coach and then we'll give you the stadium, right? You want to spend $8 million on a coach and then we'll give you a couple billion for a stadium. Let's do it in that order. You know, there's a perfectly good stadium right by the lake. I saw it. I was there a couple weeks ago against the Rams. I need a great coach and then a great stadium in that order, not the other way around. Oh, man, venting. I feel pretty good about that. All right. The tailgate brought to you by Homage. You want some NFL gear, Chicago fans? Homage has the softest, coziest throwback apparel. Robbie got some shirts the other day. You got some Lions gear. Your favorite Chicago teams, your favorite NFC teams. Homage has you covered. Bears fans are the number one selling team on Homage. I can't believe that's wild. Homage's number one selling team, the Chicago Bears. Head to homage.com, H-O-M-A-G-E. The H is silent. H-O-M-A-G-E. Use the code tailgate for 15% off your first order. That's HOMAGE.com. Whew. All right, the NFC North. Let's look at the standings a little bit because everything the NFC North does affects the Bears. And I'm going to start kind of, I guess I'll start at the bottom. And that is the Bears. But the Green Bay Packers are 6-3. But they've cooled off a little bit. And Jordan Love has cooled off a little bit from the start of the season. He's had a couple wonky games. But again, they're still 6-3. There's probably three playoff spots for the NFC North. Minnesota Vikings, they won one, but they lost a couple. They lost to some decent teams. 6-2, but everyone is cooled on the Minnesota Vikings. Now it's to the Lions. Man, I'm telling you, I picked the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl at the start of the season. Of course, I picked them to play against the Jets, so if I get half of it, that'd be nice. Now, people are like, you're a Bears fan. How can you pick the Lions? I'm like, well, because I'm an objective, and I'm calling it like I see it. The Lions were so close last year, they should have been in the Super Bowl. But they kind of did that, you know, pucker up thing I said about in the second half against the Niners. They look better this year. 7-1. They've outscored their opponents by 110 points this year. That's number one in the league. They made a nice trade at the trade deadline for Za'Darius Smith. I love that. I love what they're doing. You know, they didn't blow out the budget and try to get some, you know, high-priced pass rusher. They're like, let's get a B-level player at the back half of his career who wants to play 12 good games for us and we could jettison. I think the Lions are in fantastic shape. All right, going around the league a little bit, starting with the AFC. Bills are 7-2, Jets 3-6. Jets are basically in playoff mode. They need every win the rest of the season. Really, they truly do. They need to win out. They can win a couple in a row. Keep an eye on that schedule. Don't discount the Jets quite yet. Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-2. Baltimore Ravens at 7-3. That's a lot of fun. Bengals are 4-6. The Steelers are really interesting because Justin Fields did a good job early in the season, got them some wins. Russell Wilson is playing kind of B-level football, and they've won 3 in a row, and no one's talking about Russell Wilson playing well because people don't like Russell Wilson. And I don't think they're going to give him any credit when he plays well. I've been a fan of his for a long time. I can understand he's off-putting on camera or in press conferences. I know him pretty well off the field. He's an odd bird, man. He's like your neighbor who just doesn't speak the same way. He's like one of those motivational speakers who's always in a good mood. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. But either way, they're playing pretty good football. AFC South, the Texans are 6-3, but they don't feel like the Texans of preseason. I had the Texans as maybe a Super Bowl team, definitely deep in the playoffs. Colts are 4-5, doesn't seem threatening. Titans, Jacksonville, blah, blah, blah. The Kansas City Chiefs are 8-0. It's weird to be 8-0 and not be playing great on offense. This is a defensive-led team, even though Patrick Mahomes is a hammer. Chris Jones, one of my favorite players in football, leads that defense. They're awesome. The Chiefs' offense has not done a lot. They've been patchwork, Kareem Hunt, Xavier Worthy, and all DeAndre Hopkins. But the thing is, Mahomes can't have the ball last. It still does it. It doesn't matter what happens in the game. If there's more than 35 seconds left and Mahomes has the ball, it's over, Johnny. It's like Tom Brady 8 years ago. So I will never discount the Chiefs as long as Mahomes is walking in that defense. The NFC East is a lot of fun. The Washington Commanders are 7-2. Hate to say it, Jaden Daniels is playing fantastic football and is the lead for rookie of the year. They've won 3 in a row. The Eagles righted the ship a little bit. They've won 4 in a row, 6-2. The NFC North we talked about. The Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to get to them in a second. I'm going to light them up. In the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals are 5-4, not getting a lot of credit. Rams are 4-4. Both teams won 3 in a row. The Niners are 4-4 and get Christian McCaffrey back. That is going to be a dogfight, probably 2 playoff spots at least in that division. So there's where we are right now. I'm going to get to games in a second. I do want to talk about one thing with the Cowboys. The Cowboys are the most overcovered team in all of sports. They are not relevant, and they get overcovered by lots of networks whose names I won't say here. You don't have to look that far to find them. So they do a thing in sports where they use analytics to see what people click on and go to, and the Cowboys are one of the league leaders, just like the Dodgers or the Lakers and other teams, the Yankees, Duke basketball, whatever it is. The Cowboys, for some reason, either get a lot of love or a lot of hate. That means they're polarizing, and for some reason, people tune in. But the Cowboys, they're not a good team. They're not a threatening team. And I don't think they're really that interesting of a team. Why? Because they're not going to have a top 5 draft pick and change quarterbacks. They made a decision to sign Dak Prescott, and that decision is going to be there for the next 3.5 years. He's locked. They can do nothing with him. And he's hurt. He's out for at least a month. And even when he's playing, it's not working out that well. Their owner is very entertaining. He gives me a lot of content. But until he hires a general manager, that team's going nowhere. He would have fired himself 10 years ago as general manager, but you can't fire yourself technically, I don't think. I've been fired before, never fired myself. So the Cowboys aren't really that exciting on the field, but they get a ton of coverage, and it's really frustrating. One more thing I want to get to before we get on to college football is, and I'm going to get to the schedule, Jaquan Brisker, the Bears safety. I'm really digging for coverage about what's going on with him and his head injuries because it's very frustrating. He probably is my favorite Bears player. There might be better players. There may be players you like better. Jalen Johnson is, to me, he's an all-pro. He's a sure thing. But when I watch Brisker play, especially last year and the first few games of this year, he's all over the place. He's always in the right spots. He hits. He intercepts. He knocks balls loose. I mean, he's just a fantastic player. I don't think he gets enough credit nationally. A lot of Bears don't get a lot of credit nationally. But he's really fantastic. He had a head injury, a concussion, and it didn't look that bad at the time. Like, he went down, he got up, he actually went to the sidelines, and he looked okay. He's been out 5 games, and it's really concerning because as much as we're concerned with Tua Tagovailoa of the Dolphins, he was out 4 games. Brisker's now on to 5, and it's not like he's on a team that's out of the playoffs and they could let him rest or let him recover. This is a team that needs him like air to breathe, man. He is a fantastic ball player, and it's really personally concerning because I hear so little about what's going on. The coaches aren't talking. I'm asking my Bears guys what they're hearing, and there's very little. And sometimes the less you hear, the worse it is. I hope I'm wrong. I beg I'm wrong because he's a fantastic player. He's a lot of fun to watch. And it's just, it's a little bit scary. All right, I'll go through quickly before we break. We're going to get some college football. And Patrick Finley, my guy from the Sun-Times, will be joining us. This is the Tailgate 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. So the games today, real quick, Giants and Panthers starting right after this show on the NFL Network and Allianz Arena in Munich, Germany. If you've ever been to Munich, Germany, or if you haven't, go to the Hofbräuhaus. It's the biggest beer hall in the world. It's fantastic. You're going to get ripped up there. Giants and Panthers early on NFL Network. Patriots-Bears, we talked about that. Bears given now 6 points. Bills at Colts. Buffalo favored by 4. Should be no problem for the Bills. But now when you have Joe Flacco there, it's actually a more competitive team. The weirdly 5-4 Broncos at the Chiefs. Chiefs are 8-0. Kansas City giving 8. That's one of those where the Broncos probably win because they shouldn't. Falcons at 6-3 against the Saints at 2-7. The Falcons are only lightly favored over a 2-7 Saints team. That's because teams in that division always lose games they should win. The Falcons have won 3 in a row, which means they're due for a loss. Every time I want to buy into the Falcons, they do something like lose to the Saints. That's weird. 49ers at Buccaneers, 4-4 team. Niners, 4-5 Buccaneers. Really big game for the Bucs. You start getting to 4-6, it's trouble. 49ers get McCaffrey back. They're favored by 6.5. Steelers at Commanders, my favorite game of the day, non-Bear game on Sunday. Washington's given 2.5. That should be a lot of fun. A couple quarterbacks that are getting a little bit of coverage. Vikings at Jaguars, Minnesota favored by 7. Jaguars are miserable, and it looks like Trevor Lawrence has a shoulder injury. Not his passing shoulder. Looks like he may be out. Titans, Chargers, but Chargers are rolling a little bit. Eagles at Cowboys, should be a nice pounding for the Cowboys. Jets at Cardinals, must win for the Jets. Lions at Texans, Sunday night. That's fantastic. Can't wait for that. And then some Monday Night Football. But, you know, up next, we're talking to Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. He's knee-deep in all the Bear stuff. And let's hit some college football. I'm Paul Pabst. Let's have some fun. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Paulie Pabst here on The Score. Robbie Troiano hanging with me. Talking some college football in a minute. Talking some Bears in about 4 minutes with Patrick Finley, my guy from the Sun-Times. Robbie, we got to find, there's a lots of bars in Chicago that are like a lot of Big Ten bars, right? Tons of them.
Absolutely. Definitely in the Lincoln Park area. There's a lot of great, awesome bars here. And we love college football. We don't talk about a lot on The Score, but we love it here. And there is college football love in this town.
I'm a college football guy. I'm with you, Robbie. I love going to Chicago and hitting the pubs. Back in the day, I used to go to Kincaid's on Armitage and watch Notre Dame. Oh, it's a fantastic place. You got to do some work for me. I'm a Southern Illinois Saluki, not a powerhouse in football, but a really fun school. We know how to go to pubs. You got to find me a Saluki bar in the city because it's been a while since I've been to one.
I'm going
to
look at and report back.
Yes, this is an important assignment. Drop all that you're doing if you have anything to do, which I don't think you do. All right, the WANI event. Join Coach Dave Wanstead, Mark Rohde, live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan for the Four Winds football forecast. Say that four times fast. This Monday, the event is free to the public. Starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central. Coach Wanstead will be giving a midseason review. Oh, boy. And he'll lay into people and forecast the rest of the season. Plus, you get his autograph, pictures, maybe even a pint with Coach Wanstead before the Monday night game. That's Monday, Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. All right, this is it. This is the score. I'm Paul Pabst, 670. Let's get some college football. Last weekend, the heavyweights are rolling in college football. Oregon, no problem. Georgia's right the ship. Ohio State had a little bit of trouble, but they got by Penn State. Shocker, Penn State didn't show up in a big game, being snarky there. Miami is rolling. They rolled Duke. Miami and Cam Ward look really good. He's got a really good shot for the Heisman. But the best one in the Midwest is the Indiana Hoosiers. They're 9-0. They're 6-0 in the Big Ten. They're ranked 8th in the country. This isn't basketball. This is football. Now, I know they've been good in the past 5 years. Remember a couple of years ago, they had Michael Penix, then he went out to Washington. And I thought they were going to dip back down to like, oh, that 7-5 Indiana, which we grew up on, which was perfectly fine. Indiana right now, today, has a game against Michigan. They're favored by 14.5 points against the defending national champion, Michigan Wolverines. Let that soak in for those who have watched Indiana football over the past 30 years. I'll bet you, I would probably bet a finger that Indiana has never been favored by 2 touchdowns over Michigan in, I'd say, 40 years. I can almost guarantee it. Robbie, put that on your list. Look that one up. I don't know how you're going to find it. We'll find it. All right. The college football rankings are out. This is what the 12-team playoff would be today if that 12-team playoff were going on. It would be Indiana-Notre Dame in round one at Notre Dame. That's fantastic. An interstate playoff game, Indiana versus Notre Dame, that's what we played today. Ohio State versus Boise State. That's kind of fun. Boise State's a good team. Ashton Gentry, the running back, is fantastic. Another first-round college football playoff game right now would be Tennessee at Penn State. I don't love Penn State, especially in big games, but right now they're in. I don't think they'll end up there. And then a first-round game right now would be Texas at Alabama in the first round. Texas versus Alabama in round one. That's nuts that a couple of national title contenders could be playing in round one. The four teams that would get byes week one would be Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and weirdly, BYU. Yes, BYU undefeated because they're in the Big 12. They would get a bye game, a BYU bye game. All right, that's it. Well, college football today. I said Florida versus Texas. Georgia at Ole Miss later today. Ole Miss, it's last call for Ole Miss. They lose. You can't afford a November loss if you're Ole Miss. They're in playoff mode. Michigan and Indiana, we talked about that. Notre Dame hosts Florida State tonight. Historically, Notre Dame versus Florida State would be a game you'd make an appointment to watch. I think the line is 26.5 points. Florida State is awful. And less than a year ago, we were arguing about whether they should be in the national title picture. Less than a year. I don't know how that happens. It's like a body switching movie and they forgot how to play football. Bama at LSU tonight. Last call for LSU. They got a win or they're bounced from the playoff picture. And then late night, stay up late. Don't go to bed early. BYU at Utah. That's it. Let's bring in our guest. Talk some Bears. Now on the tailgate, 670 The Score. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. He also teaches at DePaul just like I do. He's Patrick Finley back on the show from the Sun-Times. Patrick, I have an odd intro for you. I got a buddy, Jimmy Jaworski, my buddy. He's been in Greece for 2 weeks. He told me he's going to take his phone and turn it off, not watch any sports, not check on anything, no social media. So he has not seen the last 2 Bears games. When my buddy Jammer gets off the plane today, if we walked up to him at the airport, how would you and I explain the last 2 weeks for the Chicago Bears?
We'd put our arm around him and say, first of all, you might want to sit down. And then we'd apologize, and he'd wonder what in the world was going on. And then you'd say, what's the last time you saw a Hail Mary hit? Yeah. And you start there. And you start there because that's the story that, when the season is over, is probably going to be the story that gets told about the Bears this year, as much as they might want it not to be. And then you will say, and guess what? They said all week that they were going to respond from that, and they went and they got beat by 20 by a team who we thought was their peer. It's been a bad 2 weeks for them. I find the Cardinals loss more disturbing than the Hail Mary, but you got to lead with the Hail Mary every time.
Yeah, when we last left Jimmy Jaworski, he saw the London game, the great game in London, and then you had the bye week. I actually said on this tailgate show, I don't want a bye week. They were rolling a little bit. When you say the Arizona loss is worse, I agree with you. What stood out the most about that loss?
That for the first time in a long time, you can run the football against the Chicago Bears. That hasn't been the case. Even when the Bears were terrible, they had a pretty decent run game defensively. The fact that you played without Montez Sweat and without Kyler Gordon, you know, that could be one reason, one excuse, and it looks like they're both going to go on Sunday. But, you know, that bothered me. The fact that this offense is just stuck in the mud is big picture the most concerning part, probably. I mean, at least against the Commanders, the Bears figured it out at the end.
Yeah.
Here they didn't. You know, here they were just getting sacked and their quarterback was hurting his ankle. It was, you never sensed any offensive momentum after that first drive. And that's bad news because the Bears are already the worst first quarter offense in football. And now when they're not rallying in the second, third, or fourth quarter, that's bad. Caleb Williams the last 2 weeks has been the worst quarterback in football by almost any statistical measure. That doesn't mean it's all doom and gloom. I mean, rookie quarterbacks go up and down,
sure,
even the good ones. But, you know, he picked a bad time to have a bad 2 weeks, especially, you know, when Jane Daniels was across the field from him in one of those.
You know, I'll go back to the Commanders game. When it was over, it was a national embarrassment. I work on a national show, and the Bears got a lot of coverage, and Tyreek got a lot of coverage, and the coaching staff for the end of the Commanders game. And I think a lot of Bears fans were hoping, and I listen to the Score all week and read what you guys write, you know what, let's tighten up after this one. Let's get rid of the sloppiness. We cleaned it up. Let's get a nice win against a somewhat beatable Arizona team, not a bad team, and it wasn't even really that close. And that almost made the Commanders' loss stretch on for another week or so.
Yeah, it may have cost them. I mean, it may have been two losses when you think about it. Because I think most days when the Bears play the Cardinals, I think it's a much closer game than that. And I think the Bears, you know, I thought the Bears would lose, but I thought it would be competitive, and it was never competitive. Yeah, it's just, it's bad news all the way around. And, you know, when you look at Matt Eberflus's history, you know, some of these bad losses that they've taken in the last 2 years, I mean, the Broncos at home when the Broncos had given up 73 the game before, you know, the Bears won the next game. You know, the Bears, some other, you know, meltdowns that they've had, I think the Lions, the first Lions game, they won the next week. You know, they'd actually showed this ability to bounce back after some ugly losses, but none of them are as ugly as what happened in Washington. I'll say this, the thing that I will remember a year from now when this comes up is that, you know, Tim Walz, you know, granted he was speaking in Green Bay, or I'm sorry, in Wisconsin and managed Washington, so outside of Green Bay. So he knew his audience. But the fact that the vice presidential candidate for the United States made a joke about the Bears with 8 days to go in the election, thinking that that would gain him political points, that's all you need to know about how the Hail Mary crossed over from just football conversation to a national sports conversation to, dare I say, an international, maybe not scandal, but embarrassment for sure.
I think you're right, because I saw it on the Today Show. I saw Michael Strahan talk about it on Good Morning America. I work on the Dan Patrick Show, and it was like, I walked in and my coworker's like, oh man, you okay? I'm like, you okay? Nothing happened to my dog. It was a loss and it was ugly. So when I'm watching the Bears coverage, what you guys do on TV, on radio, there felt like a lot of rumblings of discomfort from players not agreeing with the coaching staff over the past 2 weeks. Is that fair? And what have you seen and heard?
Yeah, it's fair. Especially after the Commanders game, there were players who didn't hesitate to say, hey, I don't know why we didn't take a timeout before the Hail Mary. Hey, I don't know why we gave up a 13-yard out that was uncovered to set it up. You had players questioning why Shane Waldron would hand the ball off to a guard who was playing fullback, who had touched the football zero times in his life, high school, college, or otherwise. And all of those are fair criticisms. And the fact that players would come out and say them kind of without fear of repercussion, I thought was the most damning part of all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times joining me, Paul Pabst on the Score, 670 Score, the tailgate. I want to go to the next step here with this. We're at the halfway point of the season. You look at teams, and sometimes this is kind of a apples and oranges, but years ago, the Kansas City Chiefs had Alex Smith, and they said, if we want to get to the Super Bowl, we have to upgrade at the quarterback position. And they did with Mahomes, and it worked out splendid. But they had a good quarterback situation. Does the Bears management now look at their coaching situation and say, this is not a team, coaching staff, that can get us to the promised land, but the roster isn't that far away. Could you see that decision being made mentally now and enacted upon in January?
I don't know about mentally now. I mean, so much of what the Bears do as an organization is based on how they do against the Packers. The Bears haven't played the Packers yet. The Bears haven't played a divisional game yet. I'll say this. In the short term, I think the worst thing you could do for a rookie quarterback is take away the stability that he has. The Bears, in their history, have never made a move in the middle of the season. I don't know what that accomplishes if they do, for a lot of reasons. Number one, as a head coach, Matt Eberflus is a great defensive coordinator. And you got, if you're trying to win games, you're probably better off with him calling the plays than otherwise. You know, Shane Waldron, I think the reason people were so curious about whether Shane's role would change was because you have Thomas Brown as your pass game coordinator. He's somebody who at least has experience at offensive coordinator. But I'll point out too that Thomas Brown's stint calling plays for the Panthers last year was just bad. And it's not all his fault. It's mostly not his fault. But remember, it was he had it taken away from him by the head coach. Then he took it over again when the head coach got fired. It didn't necessarily go well. So, I don't see the Bears making a big picture decision right now based on what you've seen. I mean, they're 4-4. There's been panic at Halas Hall with a lot worse records than this. And you know what? We talked about the roster being better than they've shown, and it is. You know, you look at their receivers. Their receivers at this point last year through 8 games had more yards than their receivers do this year. So, the roster needs to start playing up to its ability. That's on the coaches, but that's on the players too.
Yeah. I want to get to the NFC North, but before we go move on to that, one last thing about the coaching situation. Do you think Matt Eberflus's security is as strong as Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator's availability?
It's the old Chris Rock joke, right? You're only as single as your options. As married as your options. I don't know. That's a good question. I would hope that if Ryan Poles believes that Matt Eberflus is the right person to shepherd a franchise, that the availability of a coordinator doesn't change that. Ben Johnson, obviously, there are lots of reasons to be excited. For anybody who would want him as a head coach, he's really turned the Lions offense into maybe the best in the league, maybe, you know, top two, top three at the worst. I don't know. I think you need to make your decision based on whether you believe in the coach you have and then turn to the outside, not the other way around.
Before the season started, I picked the Lions to win the Super Bowl, and I thought last year they were close to making it, and they like looked at it and saw it and kind of got scared of it in the second half and gave it up. It almost reminds me of like the Chicago Bulls in the early 90s with the Pistons. I think the Lions are actually playing better at this juncture than I thought they might be. Do you look at them? You track the division really strongly. Do you look at them as the Super Bowl favorites in the NFC?
Yes. I don't know who else in the NFC is good. Honestly. I mean, I'm sorry. I'll rephrase. There are a lot of good teams. There are no great teams in the NFC beyond the Lions. And, you know, it's possible that, you know, the Packers, Vikings, Commanders, maybe the 49ers, if everybody gets healthy. I mean, it's kind of your list right now. And none of them are nearly as strong as what the Lions are right now. You know, you mentioned that, you know, they were kind of staring at a Super Bowl and didn't get it. Part of that was their head coach too. I think we can praise Dan Campbell all day, every day for a lot of the aggressiveness that he's shown. But I think that there were some decisions he made in the second half of that game that hurt his team.
And I totally agree with you. He made some decisions that maybe you make during October, but he made them at the wrong time. And it's almost like he stuck with his own game plan too much. Is that what you saw?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, too aggressive when he didn't have to be. And as it turns out, I think the Lions, I mean, the Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl was spectacular.
Right.
But I think the Lions would have given them just as good of a game, probably.
You know, Jared Goff, I was looking at a thing, I don't know what network I was watching today, and they had their top four MVP candidates for the NFL, and Jared Goff wasn't in them. I think it's a disservice to him. I understand he's not spectacular. He never runs for 80 yards. He doesn't break anyone's ankles. He doesn't do Saquon Barkley plays. But there's something to be said for throwing 82% of your passes the past 6 games. Do you look at him, if you had to vote for the MVP, and I don't even know if you do, if you had to vote for the MVP today, what would it be?
it'd be Lamar Jackson probably, but I mean, he's on that list. You know, he's, you know, he's in the top three. And I mean, the one bad thing you can say about the MVP is it's usually the best quarterback on the best team. And Jared Goff, by the end of the season, will certainly, you know, has a great chance of being the quarterback on the best team. And statistically, if he keeps playing, those numbers are going to add up. You know, we talk about, you know, he doesn't run maybe as much as some other guys. I mean, it does tell us, though, that he's probably less likely to get hurt. He's probably more likely to be consistent. That helps him.
I'm a big fan of the drop back quarterback. I don't want my quarterback running, as exciting as some of them are. All right, let's get back to it. Patrick Finley, the Sun-Times, joining me on the Score 670. This is the tailgate. What do you expect Sunday, Bears-Patriots?
I expect the Bears to be really lucky that they're playing the New England Patriots. I think the Patriots will be able to run the ball against the Bears. I think that that I would watch Hunter Henry as being a big target for Drake May. That seems to be the guy he locks in on. And then when Hunter Henry's not there, Drake May takes off and runs. Right. And that to me is dangerous for the Patriots. And I think it's something that the Bears welcome, even though we did finish with 95 yards last week. I think the Bears at home have been traditionally a really good team. I think they've won 9 straight. Caleb Williams, this seems like a good opportunity for him to get on track. But they need to start fast. You know, they're the, you know, as I mentioned, they're the worst first quarter team in football. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if they had a 3-and-out to start the game, I wouldn't be surprised if people booed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that shows you the level of frustration in Chicago, even though I think intellectually, I would hope that we all know that if you're a rookie quarterback, expecting him to have everything figured out halfway through his first season is probably silly. That's just kind of where we are.
It is funny, though, but like after London, you're like, oh, he's hitting his stride, and then it cooled off a little bit. Okay, finish this statement before I get you out of here. If the Bears lose on Sunday, ..
They might not win another game all year. How about that?
That's fair.
Yeah, the 6 NFC North games they have, plus a road game in San Francisco and a home game against Seattle. I mean, I think even optimistically, you're probably looking at 3 wins out of that 8 tops. If the Bears lose and if everything goes haywire and if some of the veterans who have been obviously annoyed with the way things are going have another week of this, that could be really bad news. I don't know that it would prompt any sort of major changes here,
right?
Because of all the reasons we talked about. But, you know, this is their, you know, if they lose that game, boy, we might be staring at a 9-game losing streak.
Before we let you go,
11 game losing streak.
Yikes. Before we let you go, give me a great pub, restaurant, bar in your neighborhood that you used to hang out at. Just a off the top of your head recommendation in the city, uptown, wherever you want to recommend for me.
I live in Evanston. Evanston, not known for its late night party scene. But I will tell you, a 10 Mile House, which is across the street from what used to be the football stadium, is our go-to spot. Good food, great atmosphere. And you know what? Before a game, there are actually Northwestern fans in there, whether it's a basketball game or a football game, when that stadium was upright. And that's fun to see because, you know, you always get the Nebraska fans taking over bars and Ohio State fans. But 10 Mile House has got a lot of Northwestern people in it.
10 Mile House in Evanston, the full recommendation. By the way, before we go, I love the views at Northwestern's football stadium this year. When I watch them on TV, it's gorgeous. I wish they could redo it there.
Yeah. I've asked a couple of my friends over there, like, knowing what you know now, would you even bother building a new stadium? They got really lucky with the weather. Obviously, they're moving to Wrigley Field for November, which makes a ton of sense. But you know what? I don't think you can make a ton of money on a temporary stadium. They're hoping to make a ton of money on the new Ryan Field when it gets built, hopefully in the next 18 months. But we'll see how that goes.
I'm sure your donations are helping the cause. Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, your first ever second-time guest on the tailgate. You should be honored. You'll get a certificate. You got your hands full this week and next week. Take care, brother.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun having Pat Finley on. He lives up in Evanston. I got to go to the pubs in Evanston. I don't know them that well. I think I'm actually going to be going to Wrigley Field to see Ohio State Northwestern next Saturday, which will be pretty cool. Also, your boy's going to DePaul on Friday night versus Duquesne. Hopefully they keep the winning streak going. That'll be a lot of fun. Hey, the tailgate on the Score brought to you by Homage, HOMAGE.com. It's hoodie season. Get a nice NFL hoodie to get cozy in. If your team stinks, you can take a nap in your hoodie. Go to HOMAGE.com. Use my code tailgate for 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. I don't know what they are, but they apply, man. That's HOMAGE.com. Pay Homage. Coming up next, our pub and grub of the week, my Bears prediction, and the Bears fan morale meter. That's next. This is the tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsi didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score. Robbie and I hanging out. Alex will be in next week with me. My little team here. We talk football, we talk food, and that's really about it. A couple things next week. Going to be in town to see the DePaul Blue Demons basketball team. Can't wait to see them in person. 2-0 on the young season. It's fantastic. New era DePaul basketball. And then on Saturday, going to Wrigley Field to see Northwestern versus Ohio State. Nice double dip for Chicago weekend. Hopefully some decent weather. I don't want it too decent, though. I don't want 70 degrees in November. That's un-American, man. I need like 52 and overcast. You know, right, Robbie?
Yeah, you need football weather.
Football weather. What is the ideal temperature of football weather? I say 57 and partly sunny.
I think you need like a light jacket and a sweater. If you can wear that, that's good weather for any fan out there. A little beer in your hand, beautiful.
You want to have options. All right, it's time for the pub and grub of the week. We, on this show, on The Tailgate, we shout out different pubs and restaurants, all of the Chicago and Chicagoland area. We're going to go up to, let's go to 6341 North Clark in Chicago, Randall's Pub. I got a source who said it's a dive bar, but a super friendly dive bar. And that works for me. It's in the Edgewater neighborhood. They got pool table, shuffleboard, dartboard. I love shuffleboard, by the way. Underrated bar game. You don't have to have any physical talent. Perfect for your guy, Paulie Pabst. They have games on all the time. It's Randall's Pub, 6341 North Clark in Edgewater. It's time for the Bears fan morale meter. I call it How's Morale. Now, this is our weekly mental health check on Bears fans, and it's not good. Less than a month ago, after the really fun win in London over with Jacksonville in London, that seems like forever ago. I think the morale meter was 8.6. I'm cutting in half. After the loss to Washington and the no-show against Arizona, morale is a 4.4 out of 10. And you can't get much lower than that and still be above water. It's like a ship going to a side. When you get the four, when they say it's listing to the side, that's when it's over, Johnny. It's not over yet. The Bears have a lot of big games on the schedule, which might make things worse. But it's fixable on the field, even though you have a brutal upcoming schedule. Let's get to the Bears game prediction. Sunday at noon, Bears at Patriots. Bears are given 6.5 points. This is a must-win game from the standpoint of calming things down. If you're thinking wild card, you may want to grab a beer and take a break right now. But if you're thinking about calming things down in Chicago with the Bears, they need a nice, clean win. Like what would be perfect would be 24-10. And then you could tune in the score on Monday with Mullion Hall, and it'll just be like, hey, that was some nice stuff, and let's check on the Sox sale, and let's see how the Bulls are at 3-7, right? But the Bears, you know, 4-4 is not that far off the wild card pace, but this is it. You can't blame injuries. Everyone's hurt in November. Every team has players that are hurt. No one's healthy. I'm going begrudgingly to pick the Bears 21-16 in this game, and I don't care if it's an ugly win. Go back to opening day against the Titans. That was ugly as it gets, but it's a win, right? Ugly wins work. It's the night before prom and you don't have a date, just find someone. You might have to take a 4-7-8 to the prom, but you just need a win this weekend. Drake May, watch out for this guy. He's creative. He's feisty. He's a good quarterback. I don't know if the Bears have the pass rush to get to him. They have the DBs when they're healthy. That's a tailgate for this week. We've had a rough couple of weeks. Shake it off. It's a tailgate. Have a cocktail early. You know, enjoy the football. Have some wings, have a pint, take a nap before the college football games. Please check out Michigan versus Indiana today. This Indiana football team is on a special run. Enjoy the football today. Enjoy the football tomorrow. Robbie, have a good weekend. We'll talk more football next weekend. I'm Paul Pabst. This is The Tailgate. 670 The Score. Later.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.